if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. This is our 2023 Wells Fargo Championship and DS Automobiles Italian Open Tips podcast, episode 256. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams. Join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with in-depth betting previews for both events this week. We've got strokes gained rankings for both events as well, Italian Open and Wells Fargo. We've got course form statistics. We've got combined current form stats as well, plus our brand spanking new predictor model. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. Now, I worked out this week, chaps. We have now got over 400 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. So let's drive towards 500 five-star reviews on Apple. So, as ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Danny in Canada's done that. He did it last week. As I said, we're quite low on reviews, so if you're going to write one this week, you're very likely to be at the start of next week's show. Thank you to Danny in Canada. His five-star review is entitled Second to None, Best Golf Pod Around. Five stars. Thorough, in-depth course breakdowns, form discussions, and stat-driven analysis. If you are looking for a quick pick-driven pod, this isn't for you. However, those looking for real discussion and thoughtful analysis breakdowns week after week will not be disappointed. As a new dad, car rides can be challenging, but as soon as my daughter hears the opening jingle, she starts to talk away like she's part of the crew. Looking forward to making more memories with her and the pod. Appreciate all you do, gents. Danny in Canada. What a lovely review that is.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, thanks, Danny. And hopefully it kind of soothes your daughter to sleep when you're on those long journeys. But yeah, brilliant stuff.
Thank you very much, Danny. Sounds like there's an opportunity for Sam to do a children's musical album.
Yeah, potentially.
It's amazing the parts of the world and the way that you can touch people's lives through a podcast, I always find. Hmm. Right, let's review last week, shall we, chaps? Mexico Open first, I think. I managed to scrag Akshay Bhatia at 90-1, full each-way payout. He was the one guy that was challenging the 3-1 favourite and the 8-1 second favourite at 54 holes. Yeah. That was quite a feat.
He did well.
You were on Toasty, weren't you, Barry? That was a good. That was a very good find, Toasty.
Thank you. Yeah, he also found a wonderful round on Sunday to actually make it a reality. So I discovered during the week there's a good, nice little lead-in backstory, It all worked out nice in the end, but he ended up being hit with a two-shot penalty the week before on the Corn Ferry Tour. By accidentally taking an official buggy, a number of players did. So he got an invitation into the Mexico Open. Has now converted that into a top 10 and gets an invitation into the Wells Fargo this week. So, you know, it's nice to things came around quite well for him. And he's taken advantage of it. So it was finally these 12 place extended each way bets are working out.
What price did you get, Barry?
I think it was $225.
Oh, very nice.
Mm. When the price is sufficient like that, then it can make all the difference. Mm. So, yeah.
Even though it goes 1/9 the odds for that, but I think it's Boyles do 12 as well, but their prime price goes down. Mm. Now, maybe in that situation, it's the way to do it was to do it that way.
Yeah.
Because I think Boyles do 1/5 the odds, but sometimes it just washes out, so.
Yeah, I guess if you do the math, then you probably find there's not a massive amount of difference between the two returns. Mm. You know, getting a better headline price, but a higher denominator or a lower headline price. It swings and roundabouts. But either way, as Steve said, cracking pick. Cracking pick with Akshay Bhatia as well, Steve. So well done, both of you boys.
It was. Did we talk about the reverse forecast last week?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, did you back that poll?
No, I talked myself out of it at the start.
Oh, no. It was only, I was watching the two boys just like pop, you know, it would have been a cakewalk for a bet as well, because there was never a real threat of, Brandon Wu did momentarily tie the lead and then got a nosebleed.
Yeah.
Well, we missed out on the obvious bet, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, as I said, it was kind of my knee-jerk reaction was to go down that route, but it would have, it was 20 or 25 to 1 for the dual forecast, 35 to 1 if you'd have gone for Rahm first, Tony Finau second. I suspect it would have probably been 40, 45 to 1 had it been the other way round, which would have been the actual final result. But yeah, I wasn't convinced that Rahm would be as close as he was. He put that magical round together in the third round, didn't he, to get himself, the second or third round, forget that, to get himself into the mix, and but couldn't quite keep up with Tony, who's an absolute killer now. What's that, five? He is, yeah. He just knows how to
it's
get
funny
on
with Rahm. It's funny with Finau, you know. Finau's last three wins have been at 14 to 1, 14 to 1, and 8 to 1 in awful fields.
Mm.
He just takes out these events, doesn't he? I've actually missed one. There was 22 to 1 where he won the Houston Open at the end of last year.
Mm.
That was a tougher. That was a tougher assignment, slightly tougher field. But yeah, put him in a field that's easy and he needs the win, because he was one of the big names that was outside the president's the Ryder Cup standings. He's now jumped to 12th with that win.
Oh, he's in, isn't he?
And also, we did say no green jacket winner had won in April or May after winning the Masters since 2010.
Yeah.
So Finau was the obvious one, but 8-1. This is the thing, boys. Listen to this. Rahm 7-1 favourite. Rahm 15-2 favourite. Homer 28-1. Rose 25-1. Scheffler 14-1. Rahm 15-2 favourite. We're then into Florida. Kirk 25-1. Kitayama, the one and only, 200-1. Then we go Scheffler 11-1. Taylor Moore was 70-1, so fair enough, bit of value there. First time winner. Then we've had Wallace 25-1, Connors 20-1, Rahm 9-1, Fitzpatrick 28-1, Finau 8-1. I mean, golf betting actually on the PGA Tour now is bloody easy. You've got to kind of just disseminate your brain, stop looking for value, and back players under 28-1. Simple as that.
That can win.
Yeah.
If Tony Finau's name was anything else other than Tony Finau without his history, would we be giving him as much shit for winning 4 out of his last 18 events?
He's a different beast now.
He was never going to lose that. As soon as he started putting a decent score together on Friday, bearing in mind, you know, he managed to get through the windy Thursday evening and get himself within 2 of the lead. And then he's got the easy Friday morning with no wind, and he's just starting to, okay, well, and just starts accumulating a fantastic score. And you just think, well, there's no one in this field that's going to get near him, really. And he just kept him at arm's length pretty much the whole way, didn't he?
Yeah, it was just that little bit too far away. But that's the difference now. He knows how to navigate through 4 rounds of a tournament and win with relatively little stress.
Yeah. 6 PGA Tour victories now.
Yep. Yeah.
Coming a man to be fast. Taken seriously. Can he make the jump to a major? That's the next question. DP World Tour, Paul. I was absolutely smitten going into Sunday because I had Robert McIntyre. And I thought, yeah, he's playing. I think he was like number one or two tee to green. I watched a lot of it on Saturday and it was howling over in South Korea. Yeah. Absolutely howling. And he was just playing. I think he was the only player on the course that hadn't made a bogey. And I fully anticipated McIntyre just to convert that into a victory. And then woke up Sunday morning and, you know, he's down in seventh.
Yep. Nothing happened on Sunday. I don't know. There's been a few instances now where he's put himself into strong positions. Bear in mind, you're getting no premium on his price. He's always, in that kind of field, he's always favourite, second favourite, third favourite, 16, 18, 20 to 1, that kind of price. So you do need him to be converting some of these opportunities, but they tend to slip away. And, you know, when it boiled down, when they finished off their third round, he went into the final 18 with one shot lead, but yeah, absolutely nothing happened on the final day. Just trod water and there was plenty of scoring opportunities out there. You know, guys were making 7-8 under for the day. Pablo de Rathabel, I only picked up, what was his eighth DP World Tour title now, I think they said on commentary. You know,
what did I say to you in the middle of last week about Pablo de Rathabel? Mm.
You never can quite tell with him. The thing is, you give him a little bit of width off the tee and he can, when it all clicks, be very, very good. He rode his luck a bit at the end, but you could say that about many a winner, particularly on the DP World Tour. You know, it tends to be like a hot potato at the end of a tournament. So if you can ever get one over the line stress-free, it's... It's highly unusual in the DP. But yeah, it's Bob, disappointing. You know, disappointing for you because, you know, my players are pretty much bombed out by that point. So yeah, I was rooting for Bob to get his win for you. But yeah, nothing doing.
My words to you about Pablo were, how the hell is Pablo still in contention for a PGA Championship spot?
Well, he's in there.
And then lo and behold, they go into Korea and all of a sudden Pablo de Rathabel is hanging around at the top of the leaderboard and plays himself into the PGA Championship.
Yep.
Fair play. I believe the cutoffs this week, top 100.
Yeah, it's always unofficial, isn't it? But
And you do get some sneaking in from 105, 110. They don't tell you why they're selecting them. They just appear on the start list. Yeah,
it's kind of an unsaid rule, isn't it? They'll just continue filling up the field until they get to the 156 from the world rankings, which is not so good for some of the LIV boys who've drifted down and further out of that by now.
We don't tend to talk LIV, but one thing I keep noticing, and I just keep looking at his statistics, and I keep looking at the old stats that you can only get for LIV, the fairways hit, the total driving, the greens in regulation and the ball striking. And I just keep staring at Brooks Koepka. Mm. He is playing some bloody good stuff. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be at a nice, soft Oak Hill up in New York State. Mm. It's going to be very hard to resist Brooks Koepka, I think, for the PGA Championship. Mm. Right, any other business from last week, or shall I move on to the Wells Fargo?
No, let's crack on.
Wells Fargo Championship, a designated event, I must say. Quite a few of the bigger names have taken this as their week off, and it kind of makes sense. They've had a very, very busy period. The PGA is 2 weeks away. Someone like a Scottie Scheffler will take this off, and he will play the Byron Nelson down in his home, Texas State, next week. So there's some moving and some shifting. John Rahm clearly decided to play Mexico rather than this, which is all fair and good. They're using their one designated event off. It's still a decent field. I think I read 39 of the top 50 in the world, something like that. It's still very, very strong. We are visiting, and we don't tend to visit here every year, whatever, for course renovations, PGA Championships, President's Cups, but it's always a pleasure to see this course. Quail Hollow. It's Charlotte, North Carolina. A George Cobb original with a 2013 and 16 Tom Fazio redesign. Classical golf course, tree-lined, old style, but also with those Carolina overtones, trees, tree-lined fairways, lots of dog legs. But this really is a Carolina golf course on steroids. They have lengthened the golf course again this time, chaps. It's always one of the longest. This one's even longer this year. 7,538 yards. And no, it's not a par 72, it's a par 71. Holes with water hazards, 7. Fairways are 419 Bermuda grass. The rough is 419 Bermuda grass, overseeded with perennial rye. Only 2 inches in length. At 7,538 yards, they're thinking we'll only give them 2 inches of rough. The greens are quite large, 6,578 yards on square feet on average. G12 champion Bermuda grass, overseeded with Poa trivialis. PGA Tour stop-offs with similar grass on the greens. This is why people listen to this podcast. It's this in-depth info. Right, let's think. Congaree. 2021 Palmetto, which was won by Garrick Higo, and also the 2022 CJ Cup, which was won last year by Rory McIlroy. Also the Country Club of Jackson, where they played the Sanderson Farms Championship. Sedgefield Country Club, where they played a Wyndham. TPC Southwind, where there's been loads of WGCs recently. FedEx St Jude Championship, and of course you can go back to St Jude Classic. There's a few others dotted about as well. Trinity Forest, where they played the 2018 and 19 Byron Nelson. You've also got the 2011 PGA Championship. Now, that one, Atlanta Athletic Club, was won by the one and only, I believe, Keegan Bradley.
Your old mate who manages to avoid getting on your post-it note every week.
Well, you talk about the post-it note of doom. Wasn't it interesting to see Emiliano Grillo backdoor a top five when he was absolutely nowhere in contention? That's Emiliano Grillo. And wasn't it also interesting to see Patrick Rogers do absolutely jack, just make the cut, and all of a sudden, top 10 finish? That's why they're on the post-it note of doom.
Pressure's off.
Great from a DraftKings perspective, or absolutely terrible from a betting perspective. I was actually toying with adding a name last week, but I've decided not to. And it wasn't Keegan Bradley. There you go. I'll leave you in suspenders on that one. He's actually in my tips this week.
I love that. Like, you're on the edge, and I'm going to back you one more time. Is this his last chance?
Barry, it's so frustrating. You know, ranking second and third for tee to green. You know, driving the ball beautifully, hitting it to 8 feet, and then just missing every single putt. It just drives you, Garrity. You think, why do I put myself through this? But then I remembered one simple thing. Paul said to me a couple of weeks ago, don't ever tip him up on a tournament where you've got to get lots of birdies, because he can't handle that. So then I rewound to this week where you don't need loads of birdies. It's a proper major championship test. So I'm thinking, yeah, I'll put him in.
One final chance.
Well, sometimes it's not. This isn't the players making the mistakes. It's people like us for selecting them in the first place. Drew?
Yeah.
If you're selecting a player for a task that you kind of know he can't do anyway, so it's your fault. So why do you sit there and bemoan the fact that he's not doing very well?
Yeah, square pegs, round holes.
Yeah, you got it. Love Quail Hollow, beautiful golf course, absolutely bedecked in Bermuda. The greens here tend to be nice and fiery. They had a couple of years ago over 90 millimetres of rain leading up to the event the week before and in the build-up, and then you tune in on a Thursday morning and the greens were still lovely and crispy, still releasing. It's got that kind of little bit of that Augusta feel to it. It's all sub-air. They've got total control of the golf course. So it ranked fifth most difficult golf course last time it was on tour in 2021 of 51 courses. So it's a proper stern test this week. From a PGA Tour perspective, listeners, As par 71s go, only Beth Page Black and the Blue Course at Congressional have played anywhere near this length in modern times. So it's a proper, long, difficult, stretching golf course. Very, very tight in terms of, well, not tight as such. The fairways are actually 30 yards wide. So if you compare that to Harbour Town 2 weeks ago, they were 22 yards wide at 300 yards carry. Mm. Here, 31 yards wide. But fairly tight kind of visual lines off a lot of the tees, very tight tree-lined escapes from tee boxes, and then they widen out. So it's certainly got that Augusta feel to it. Right, let's talk about bookmakers before we go into a little bit more detail on the course and the event. In terms of best bookmaker for the Wells Fargo, we're again highlighting Bet365, who, as ever, have their each way extra market available, which gives you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Wells Fargo to win outright market. Now, Barry uses them 12 places each way, a ninth the odds. I've used their 8 places each way at a 5th the odds market specifically on all 5 of my selections. Right now, as we record this pod, they are 8 places each way on Jordan Spieth at 22-1. These are all market best odds. Justin Thomas at 22-1. Sungjae Im, 25-1. Shane Lowry. If you fancy Shane Lowry on a golf course that really does benefit fantastic ball striking and total driving, Shane Lowry a 55-1 chance with Bet365. Or how about course specialist? Now, I came quite close on this guy. Joel Damon, Mr. Popularity himself. He's 150-1 with Bet365 this week, 8 places each way. 100-1 with Paddy Power. They're also 8 places each way. We recommend Bet365 if you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account. You can find details of their current bet £10, get £30 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code. Barry, what is the bonus code? No pressure.
Oh my God. Listen, bet 30 or the post-it note? It should be post-it note, but...
It is. We should get it changed to post note. But Paul, what is the promo code?
Barry, homework required for you, Barry. Sport 30. It's sport. SPORT30.
You need to work on that for next week, Barry. I'm coming to you. Don't forget to use the bonus code SPORT30 when registering. That was almost seamless. Almost seamless. I mean. What can you do? I'm sitting here yesterday pulling all the tips together and I was getting best price and 8 places each way on all of my selections. So it's a no-brainer a lot of the times. I don't know. We're in this new world of golf betting, so I've kept it pretty simple. I've targeted 3 at 22-1 or shorter. I couldn't find anyone slightly bigger than that I really liked, because for me, what we're looking for here is the last 4 winners here have all ranked in the top 50 for driving distance on the PGA Tour arriving here. They've also all ranked in the top 40 for distance to Apex. You know, this is so, so similar to Augusta. It's frightening, really. So, powerful off the tee. Huge, you know, if you've got some fantastic height on your approaches as well and can just drop the ball, this is the kind of golf course for you. You can see, you know, you've got names like JB Holmes who have won this in the past. It all kind of makes logical sense. Now, the only issue with that is I think I worked it out that included about 32 players, if you take those, because the modern elite player can all hit it a long way and they can all hit it very high. It did take a few out though at the top of the lead, at the top of the betting market. It would take out someone like a Colin Morikawa. So I could see Colin potentially contending this week It also took out Jordan Spieth as well.
Mm.
It also took out Justin Thomas, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Sung Jae-im. So there's quite a few names there that it's taking away that are in that kind of very backable price point. Tell you what else I noticed here, and this is pretty scary. You know, I look at the strokes gain metrics of winners here, and work it through. What we're looking for. These numbers were pretty mad to me. We've had, if you look at just the Wells Fargo winners, I'm not including the PGA Championship won here by JT. Strokes gained positions within the field of the winners. 18th for off the tee, 24th for approach, 28th for around the green, so that's low. 10th tee to green, and then strokes gained putting with 2. So we've had 3 winners, 2 of them ranked second in the field for strokes gained putting, and the other one was number 1. Now that's incredibly, incredibly rare. And I know it's from the 3 tournament sample size, but even so. The only other tournaments I can find on all of my records where putting is so predominant would be something like the Sony Open. Second week of January.
Yeah.
So we need a long, high hitter of the golf ball that has an absolute week from the stars with the putter. So it almost feels a little bit like Mission Impossible. Because clearly, finding players that are putting particularly well and actually just on a consistent basis is like the nirvana of golf betting. It just doesn't tend to happen. Also, I've noticed here, winners here tend to have a negative official world golf ranking position. So what do I mean by that? Well, Max Homme was 38th in the world winning this last year, and he didn't win it at Quail Hollow. He won it at TPC Potomac. Got it right this time. But it was in exactly the same slot as this week, 2 weeks before the PGA Championship. He'd actually lost 3 spots in the official world golf rankings. And there were loads and loads of winners here that were all within the top 40 in the world, but all had had a negative split on their world rankings.
You're talking from the start of the start
from
of the year.
Start of that calendar year.
Yeah, okay.
Which suggests to me, and it's a very similar pattern that to what we saw with Fitzpatrick a couple of weeks ago at the RBC Heritage. Someone that started the year slowly is now finding form heading into the real major season. And could just do with a victory just to boost the confidence, boost the bank balance, boost the FedEx Cup standing. And yeah, it's someone. That's what puts me off someone like Patrick Cantlay this week, who's on an absolute white hot form. You can back him at 12-1. Yeah, he's absolutely dog obvious to win it. 14-1's available out there this morning. But those kind of guys don't seem to win this event. It's someone that's got murkier form heading in, not quite as obvious. Rory McIlroy did win it 1 year at 5-1 when he just finished 8th at the Players and won the World Match Play. I get that. But he is the odd man out by a long way. So someone just with someone that's got a bit of a need, someone that's got a real want that actually they're not really thinking about Oak Hill in 2 weeks. Wouldn't it be great to win this week? A big tournament on the PGA Tour, and I could really do with a win this week, kind of mentality.
Do you think it changes a little bit all those dynamics that existed from the past tournaments versus this year, where it's designated and the field strength is much higher than it would have been?
Potentially. But then this field's always been decent.
True.
If you look at the actual... roadmap from Masters to PGA Championship. This is the best golf course of any of them. And, best golf courses always attract best fields. So this has always been a decent event.
Timing-wise, it falls on a good date as well. Just like it splits up. Yeah.
If you've got a whole full week next week to work on the part of the game that wasn't quite firing right. I've gone for 3 at the top or near the top. I've been going about this for weeks. you wouldn't pick him on any kind of strokes gain metrics, apart from the fact across my 8 week tracker, he is the best driver in this field. That's enough for me, really, on a golf course that is very, very strong on off the tee play. I've added Rory McIlroy 8-1. I don't have many win only bets, but in the current climate, when we've got Tony Finau winning at 8-1, we've got a whole litany of Rahm wins and Scheffler wins in single digits. If there's one golf course where Rory seems to just take away all of his worries and just find form and take it apart, it's this place. Three wins here. Two of them came after missed cuts at the Masters. So it's not as if it isn't a road he's trod before. And actually, his form isn't that bad. Everyone was raving about him winning the Masters when he finished third at the Dell Technologies Match Play last month. So it's not as if he's absolutely disastrously out of form. So I just took them. I didn't know what the price would be. I actually wrote the tip last Friday. I thought Cantlay might challenge him for favouritism, but purely on the basis that McIlroy's form here, three wins, blah, 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 blah. He's the favourite. So I've covered McIlroy off. I got 8-1 on Rory. I see this morning he's been backed in off of that mark. So Rory McIlroy, I've gone 4 points win only, 8-1. It doesn't really need much more explanation. The other two I really like this week. Really, really like. We've spoken about this particular individual. He's got three PGA Tour wins, none of them in the United States. You can throw in another two DP World Tour titles, one of them being the very strong Dubai event where he beat Rory McIlroy a few years ago. He's won two of those hit and giggles as well that they play down in the Bahamas, the Hero World Challenges. So it's not as if this individual can't win. The only thing is he's never won in the United States and that can't last for much longer. If there was a perfect track for Victor Hovland, I think this is probably it. Straight, long, high ball flight. And you just look at his resume. Parkland Classical Golf Courses, second at Torrey Pines, second at Bay Hill, third at Muirfield Village, third at Copperhead, fourth and fifth at Riviera Country Club. It doesn't get much better than that, really. I think this golf course is made for him. He's only played it once. He finished third. He shot 68-67 over the weekend, which made him the best 36-hole scorer over that weekend. So, he clearly gets on well with the course. I just think that Hovland this week, if you want players that have got something about them, someone that literally does want to get a victory, I think Hovland getting that first United States victory would be a good motivator. And he's playing some great golf, isn't he? I mean, seventh at the Masters. Now, we know at the Masters that short game is really, really important. Around the green game and gaining strokes around the green is very, very important. Here, scrambling's important, but also putting. And he does have some very spiky weeks with the putter, Victor. Now, his putting last time out at RBC Heritage was terrible, but that doesn't mean he doesn't spike and become a decent putter again this week, because some of his putting numbers this week and even at the end of last year were decent enough. So I'm on Hovland at 20-1 with Bet365 and their eight places each way market. I've also gone for Cam Young. I've been hunting Cam Young down for his first win for a long, long time. Again, he actually played here in the President's Cup, and I read some quotes from Colin Morikawa. They were very, very interesting. He said he played with Cam on the Friday, and he said, "This is unbelievable, guy. We've got a guy here that's hitting it 350 yards into the middle of the fairway, and I'm going in with 9 irons into a lot of these holes, where normally I'm going in with 6 and 5 irons. He said, playing with this guy is an absolute joy around this golf course. And it does make a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, he's just so powerful, relatively straight off the tee, great total driver. I can see him going very, very well. He's in decent nick. Made the final of the match play. He got a top 7 for us at Augusta. And I keep saying this, he's got his new caddy, Paul Tesori. And if you can, If you're following Webb Simpson round here, bearing in mind that Webb lives next to the 7th tee box and has got a record here that reads 21st, 4th, 2nd, 21st, 18th. Now, Webb Simpson just hasn't got the minerals to win around here, just hasn't got the power. But Tesori must know this course like the back of his hand. So I think you link that into a player that's got the perfect game shape like Cam Young, and I think this could be the place where he gets his maiden PGA Tour victory this week. So Young, 22-1, Hovland, 20-1, McIlroy, 8-1. Those are my three at the top end of the market. Right, over to you two. Where are you at this week?
I've only backed two this week. The guy, well, one of them's shared with you, which I'll let you tackle in a few minutes because we can make a nice case for him. Much further down the list. The one near the top, and it's not particularly near the top, I've just counted down, he's actually 14th in the betting, but I'm really keen on him this week. For me, this equivalent of 3 points each way, so it's a fairly chunky punt. Sam Burns, I've gone with, 33-1. Eight places with William Hill. I've just seen Bet365 have pushed him out to 33s as well, so... Not that I've checked, but you may get a similar price with their each way extra as well. But yeah, 33-1, Sam Burns. Now, the bit that is a little bit off-putting if you look at the raw numbers with Burns is that his course form reads 55th miscut, or 55th withdrawn, rather. If you dig into that, he was 7th to halfway on debut. And yeah, it faded a bit then. Compared to where he was then and where he is now, completely different beast. I mean, this is a guy that's won five times since May 2021. He won last May as well. Perhaps some biorhythms to tap into there. If you look at the Carolina stats on the predictor this week, he tops the Carolina stats. So in terms of fit to this course, should be strong.
Two wins at Copperhead will do that for him.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, four wins on Bermuda grass greens as well. So you know, there's lots to like in that respect. Plenty long enough. And now, when you were talking about the driving distance and the distance to Apex, I just had a quick flick through to see where he was. 23rd for the season to date on driving distance, 17th for distance to Apex. So both of those are within your parameters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Strokes gained putting. Again, you know, you talked about the winners having strong, you know, first, second, third strokes gained putting performances on the week. Sam Burns is that kind of guy that you know can turn around and perform at that kind of level. He can have a field leading second, third, that kind of number for strokes gained putting on any given week. Again, quite possible on these Bermuda grass greens that he does exactly that. Won the match play recently, 15th for the Heritage, closed with a 65 that week. 11th last time that he played at the Zurich. Now, that was alongside Billy Horschel. And if you dig into some of Billy Horschel's performances in the very recent past, there's been some real outlying poor performances. Now, I didn't see much of the match play. I didn't see much of the Zurich, rather. So I can't comment on whether Sam Burns carried Billy Horschel through that. But
I think he did.
Yes, I
saw some Twitter traffic to tell us that right. Burns was carrying him. Yeah,
in which case 11th when you've got effectively a one man team is pretty strong. So yeah, I'm really really keen on Sam Burns this week, 33-1, and for me that's the only bet outside the wild outsider, which we'll tap into in a few minutes.
I'm sure I'm not urinating on Barry's strawberries here, but who would you back? Would you back Sam Burns at 33-1, a perennial winner of modern times on the PGA Tour? Would you back Ricky Fowler at 35-1?
You can't ask that question based on who you're about to announce as your other bet this week, Steve. You've been infected with the virus. I have the Ricky Fowler virus. You have the, you know, upcoming one that you're about to announce, which I previously did.
Who would you back there? Would you take Fowler at 35-1 or perennial winner Sam Burns at 33-1?
Many wins does Sam Burns have on tour?
Is it five?
He's got five since May 2021, so five in the last 2 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Has Ricky got five full stop?
Ricky has 5. Okay. It's been a while, though. I mean, he's been playing excellent golf. And I could be tempted.
I suppose what the listeners really want to know, Barry, is when Ricky Fowler's going to win and at what price does he do it? Does he take out one of these events at 20 to 1 with a terrible field? Or does he win a designated field event at 35 to 1?
I see. I wonder if the little bit of the slightly tougher test and tougher field might engage him that, I don't, not engage him that bit more, but just focus that extra 0.5% on a given week. Those birdie tests, you know, those birdie fest tournaments that can just, like last week, I'm not sure if that's his kind of vibe of tournament to win. It's a hard one this week. I'm kind of torn. Part of me was, I like the Victor Hovland shout. Matt Fitzpatrick appeals. Who else was, I was thinking about maybe, Hatton kind of popped in my head, but seems to have had a bit of a iffy stretch, but maybe that's kind of fits into the category you were talking about, Steve.
For sure. I agree with that. A lot of people are hot this week on Sahid Theegala because we've had so many breakout winners here, and I get the narrative. But the trouble with Sahid is he's almost playing too well if you look at the narrative of people that win this. Hmm. I mean, he's coming here off 2 top 8 finishes, one at the Masters, or top 10 finish at the Masters, and a decent finish because we were on him last week at RBC Heritage a couple of weeks ago. So he's almost playing too well. I know it sounds ridiculous to fit that narrative. Someone like a Hatton that is kind of playing okay but hasn't hit the heights yet is more of the kind of like a winner that we see here. Maybe.
Jason Day, he's another one who could have that I could do with a win because he has been playing very well the last few months, so, but hasn't had that, you know, validation of it in terms of a trophy in his cabinet.
And a course winner. Yeah. Who are you actually plumping for? That's what the listening masses want to know, Barry. You've mentioned a lot of names.
No, they don't. I'm kind of sitting, straddling the fence at the moment. I don't know. I have to figure out something. I kind of was Fitzpatrick, Day, Fowler, Hatton. I have to figure out something between those four because I can't have all four of them. I might just go down to 1 or 2. I'm just trying to find somebody a little bit outside. Got towards Keith Mitchell. Hits the ball phenomenally well off the tee.
Number one for total driving on the whole PGA Tour, Baron.
Yeah, and generally positive strokes gained putting. So it's try, you know, hope for a hot week with the putter.
Yeah, Mitchell. I know people will think this is set up. Two names I had a really close look at on my post-it note of research. Sam Burns, Keith Mitchell. Perfect for this golf course, both of them. So I get that. I just thought Mitchell's price, I think the bookmakers knew it. They were a bit skanky on his price, weren't they? I mean, he's shorter this week than, say, a Tommy Fleetwood. But then I think he's more suited to the course than Tommy Fleetwood, so it does make a lot of sense. My post-it note of doom mongerer that was close to being added was Gary Woodland. So I'm on him again. I just think that this scoring level this week, what, 12, 14 under par for the winner? I reckon if you're in double digits, you're definitely getting a full each way payout.
Yeah.
That's Gary Woodland territory. You did warn me, Paul. I completely ignored you at 33 to 1 last week. And as I was watching it and Gary's like hitting it to 14 feet, missing the putt, hitting it to 12 and a half feet, missing the putt, 3 putting from 60 feet, I thought to myself, he's so close to the post-it note of doom here, it's frightening. And then I just had a deep, meaningful think about it. And I thought, no, you've picked the wrong player for the wrong test, Steve. It's your fault, not Gary's. Pick him at a golf course that's long, hard, testing, all about ball striking. not so much about putting to get a place. I'm talking about getting a place. I'm not seeing Gary Woodland getting anywhere near topping strokes gained putting metric this week. But three of his last four visits here, he has been positive with the putter here. Now, if you can tie that in with a guy that's been hitting the ball as well as he has recently, 90 to 1 I got on him was unbelievable. 90 to 1. Couldn't believe it. Had to put him in.
Yeah, that's a big drift on the price from last week.
Yeah, 90 to 1. I mean, that's the kind of guy you stick in there and you just hope. Top A, at least it kind of covers the week and we move on. That's your insurance policy. 90, 100 to 1. Punt. Woodland was perfect for that. So, yeah, I put him in. 90 to 1. I think he's the sort. The sort that can win a US Open. The sort that can top 10 at PGA Championships. That's the kind of player I want at 90 to 1 in that kind of insurance middle of the tips range. So I put Woodland in. His numbers are mad, absolutely mad. Top 10 for total driving and ball striking in his last six made cuts. There was another one last week. But yeah, he was 142nd for strokes gained putting. He was third for tee to green. Only Tony Finau and Jaeger beat him for tee to green last week. Perfect for this week in my mind. So 90 to 1 on Gary Woodland. Now, are we all on the same player at 300 to 1?
I mean, yes, but it wasn't my idea. I'm just kind of grabbing onto your coattails and just, yeah.
But people will have heard from me far too much, Paul. Take the listeners through our combined 300 to 1 bet this one.
Well, I don't know about you. I got them at 400 to 1 yesterday.
What? Who's that with?
What, did you do three places, Paul, was it?
It's a straight win. No, it was 400 to 1. That was with six places. Unibet, I took that with early doors yesterday. Cameron Champ. Now, there's a rule with Cameron Champ that we've talked about a number of times on this podcast. And when you see that spark of form, a top 10 finish, just back him. Just back him the next week. Because he does do it. And Steve, you've listed in your preview his performances or his wins after after top 10 finishes or thereabouts in the past.
Yeah.
He just does it. I mean, if you look back at his recent form, six consecutive missed cuts. Last week, Mexico Open, eighth place finish. His long game stats from last week improved dramatically. And I mean dramatically. He was negative on virtually every metric for those 6 weeks where he was missing the weekends.
Shall I read them out for you?
Go on.
First for total driving, first for total accuracy, which is basically greens in reg, fairways hit, the whole lot. Bear in mind, this guy bangs it 340 off the tee. Mm. Fourth for greens in reg, first for ball striking. He was fourth for off the tee, 11th for approach, 8th for tee to green across the week in Mexico. Mm. That's crazy. But as you're stating, this guy cannot hold form for more than two events in a row.
Yep.
So you just have to pile in the next one, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah. And that, you know, if he goes and places this week or, you know, potentially wins this week at a mad, but it was actually William Hill I placed it with early, 400 to 1 from memory. He's that kind of guy, isn't he? But then, what does he go? 8th, 4th this week, potentially, and then just drifts right off and misses a stack of cuts again after that. And that's kind of his MO, exactly. Isn't it?
That's exactly how he plays. 6th for driving distance this season, 7th and 5th last year for distance to Apex. Don't forget, this guy was 10th at the Masters last year. Mm. So it's not as if, and he's also had a top 10 at the PGA Championship. It's not as if he can't mix it on classical tree-line golf courses that are very, very difficult.
Yep. But what did he do immediately after that 10th at the Masters? Next start, 6th at the Mexico Open. Yep. So he got his each-way payout. Prior to that, yep. If you look back, John Deere Classic, he was 11th there. Next start, 3M Open, won there.
Well,
this is exactly how he operates. When you see that
I take it, Barry, you've gone 12 places and 9th the odds.
Yeah, they wouldn't open a 20 places market for me. I've gone for the maximum number.
20 places. Did you email the trader?
Yeah.
Please.
I guarantee you, Paul's on him 6 places each way. I'm on him 8 places each way. I guarantee you it's a T9 finish.
Yeah, Barry gets his payout.
I won't gloat too much if that happens. I'll thank you for the tip and, cheers for the money. Let's see. It's a great shout. He's been cut quite significantly in the market since your tip came out.
Mm. Let's hope he goes well. Right, shall we move on? We've got a cracking event on the DP World Tour, and they're playing it at the actual golf course where the Ryder Cup's going to be played towards the end of the year. So over to you, Paul. The Italian Open.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it was nice to head back to Italy. Nice to head back to the mainland, isn't it? After a few months of flitting around the globe on the DP World Tour. Actually, one of the oldest events on the tour, this one, dates back to 1925, I wrote in my preview yesterday. And joined the European circuit back at the start of 1972, if you like your history. Anyway, in the past, or relatively recent past, this has been a Rolex Series event. Not now, it's just a regular tournament nowadays. And I guess in terms of the field, you're not going to get a massive quality of field, even though it is at the Ryder Cup venue for this year, especially when we're up against the elevated event over in the US. That's going to take a number of the potential European Ryder Cup players out of the mix. So it's left us with what is pretty much a regular DP World Tour market. Actually, a lot of deja vu in terms of the betting market for the most part. A couple of additions, though, over what we've seen recently. Nicolai Højgaard has been backed into the favourite for this event over the last 24 hours or so. He certainly wasn't the favourite at the start. 18-1 now for Nicolai.
When did he open up, Paul?
Just a bit further down, 22-1.
Was he 22s?
That kind of number. So there's been some money for him. And you can see that because he's a previous winner here. He's been playing over on the PGA Tour. And this, I guess you've always got to consider these guys that come back from high level and play on the DP World Tour. And you've got to give them enough room, I guess. You've got to give them, enough support to suggest that they're going to be better potentially than some of the other players. We'll see. Nicolai, 18-1. Bob McIntyre, 20-1. Rasmus, who was the favourite when it all opened up, 20-1 also. Adrian Moronk, 20-1. Victor Perez, another one who's come in for this particular event, 22-1. Jordan Smith, 25s. Then you're out to the likes of Thorbjørn Olsen, Antoine Rosner, 33-1. 35-1 bar those top 8 or so players. Now, in terms of bookies, Boyle Sports, again, 8 places each way, 50 odds as their standard market. And as we've been saying, Bet365 do have their each way extra proposition running for this event also. So you can select your 8 or 10 or 12 place markets, whatever your heart desires for this week in terms of your betting strategy. The course, Marco Simone Golf and Country Club, as we've been saying, the venue for the Ryder Cup later in the autumn this year. It's not your typical Italian tree-lined course, though. It's much more exposed. There's water in play in a lot of holes, long fescue rough. It makes it a different look and feel to many of the traditional Italian style courses. 7,255 yard par 71. It did host this back in 1994, but it's been significantly renovated since, just to get it up to standard for this year's Ryder Cup. So if you're looking at stats this week, the course or the event does hop about from course to course. The last 2 years are the really relevant ones because they were both played on this new renovated style course here in Rome. And prior to that, it hopped about on different venues. So if you're using the combined stats or the event stats this week, just look more specifically at 2021 and 2022. In terms of the greens, tricky, quite contoured, the greens. They were relayed with bent grass, creeping bent grass, part of the renovation a few years ago. So bear that in mind. In terms of the weather, it's due to rain today, Tuesday, potentially Wednesday as well, tomorrow. And then it's dry and calm for the four tournament days. Temperatures around the low 20s centigrade, that's the low 70s Fahrenheit. So it should present pretty good scoring conditions. It's not generally the easiest of courses, but if it's going to be relatively soft coming into it with rain before the event and then pretty much no wind that I could see in the forecast, it should present some good scoring opportunities, particularly at this time of year. We shall see. Just a bit of history then, going back, just to give you a flavour of some of the prices. Of course, a lot of these were in different courses. 2010 was Frederick Anderson Head. He won at 66-1. Robert Rock the year after, 66-1 again. A couple of decent mid-price winners there. Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño won in 2012 at 40-1. Julian Cairn won in 2013. We were on Julian Cairn that week. 80-1 he won in 2013. Henny Otto, 80-1. We certainly weren't on Henny Otto the following year. 2015, Richard Kohlberg, 70-1. Look, you know, a lot of consistency about the prices that are winning this. Francesco Molinari won in 2016 at 25-1. That was his second Italian Open win. Tyrrell Hatton, 18-1. Thorbjørn Olsen, 80-1 in 2018. Bernd Wiesberger, 35-1. Ross McGowan, 2020, 750-1 if you managed to pluck out Ross McGowan that week. If you did, I'd need to find your secret. Send it on a postcard, please. Nikolai Højgaard won in 2021. He wasn't quoted. He was a very late entry into the field. 2022, Robert McIntyre won here at 50-1. So some really good strong mid prices. And you know, you talked about a lot of the prices, a lot of the winners winning at kind of 28-1, sub 28-1 on the PGA Tour. This particular event looks one where you can attack it from kind of that mid price upwards and get some success with it. We shall see. Now, in terms of the stats, again, it's only really the last 2 years that are of any relevance. Nikolai Højgaard won at 13-1. Bob McIntyre won at 14-1. In terms of their style of play, I mean, they're pretty contrasting, really. There was 20 yards between the two players from off the tee. Nikolai, obviously, one of the longer players on tour. Bob McIntyre, pretty middling, really. So, you know, there's a narrative around longer hitting here, but I think there's different ways to skin this particular cat. Sixth for greens in regulation, first for scrambling was the way that Nikolai got round. McIntyre was more about the putting, second for putting average, second for putts per greens in regulation when he won here 12 months ago. Well, it wasn't him 12 months ago, it was October last year. In terms of the strokes gain data, there's a little bit more symmetry. Højgaard was first for strokes gain tee to green. McIntyre was sixth for strokes gain tee to green. In fact, if you look at the top seven finishers from last year, all of them finished inside the top 12 for strokes gain tee to green. So if you were to pick just one key stat this week, if you were to look at just one statistic and work down that list and see who the players were that had performed well or may perform well, strokes gain tee to green would be the one that I would point you towards most predominantly. In terms of incoming form, you got to take Ross McGowan out of the equation because you really weren't picking him. If you go back to 2010, back to that Frederick Anderson Head victory, each of the winners had a top 13 or better finish in one of their last six starts. So some semblance of form, some signs of life with the game would be a good starting point. And event form has historically been a good pointer for this too, even though that we're hopping from course to course historically. Lots of repeat winners here. Francesco Molinari, I mentioned, has won it a couple of times. Ian Poulter has won it a couple of times. Bernard Langer won it a couple of times. A few others as well. If you go back to 2010, again, nine of the winners since 2010 had a top six or better in this event at one of the locations in the past. So some course form or some event form's good and some current form, you know, it's not rocket science with those two, but in terms of traditional golf punting, to look at those two aspects and put it together, that's not a bad starting point. Throwing a bit of strokes gain tee to green this week and you could be getting to the right answer. We shall see. I think there's different ways to navigate this. it's a risk rewards track. I think it's likely to be a little bit more scoreable this year. I mean, did I say 13, 14 under for the winning totals in the past? I think you might get a little bit deeper than that this week. It might be 16, 17, something in that bracket. I don't think the scoring's going to get away, but I think it is going to be reasonably scoreable this week. Anyway, boil it all down. I've backed five this week. The shortest of the five is Thorbjørn Olsen, who I backed at 30-1 with eight places each way. A fifth of the odds, that was with 365. You can take 33-1 still with six places. I took the eight place option, seeing as there was only a small differential in the price this week. And he's one of those fringy kind of players, Thorbjørn. He could, if he plays particularly well over the next few months, make the Ryder Cup. He got a taste for it back in 2018 when he made the team. I think he's playing well enough to be a factor this year if he can continue his form. Now, he won this event back in 2018, in that year that he qualified for the Ryder Cup. It was a Rolex Series event at the time, certainly helped his cause that year. Perhaps he can tread a similar kind of path this week or this year as he tries to get qualifying for that Luke Donald team. It's 2018, lots of water under the bridge since then. Seems to have settled down a bit now, both in his home life and also with his golf as well. He won the British Masters last year, he won in Thailand by four from the front back in February as well. That was really impressive to see him win that. 98th in the world rankings, and we talked about the PGA Championship a little bit earlier. You know, he's on the cusp of a start at the USPGA if he can just maintain or improve that position this week. In terms of Italian form, twice a winner on Italian soil, twice a runner-up on Italian soil as well. 16th here last year. He's actually in much, much better form now than he was this time last year or when this was played last year. To start the year, 20th in Abu Dhabi, 16th in Dubai, 4th Ras Al Khaimah, 6th in India. I talked about his win in Thailand, playing some really tasty stuff, Thorbjørn Olsen. 5th for greens in regulation for the season, 3rd for strokes gained approach, 3rd for strokes gained tee to green, that key metric that I talked about for the season to date. Playing some great stuff. I just had to put him in, Thorbjørn, at the top. Seemed like a really strong bet for me this week. Pretty primed for this, I think. A little bit further down, a guy you backed last week, Steve, Guido Migliozzi. Now, Guido opened at 66-1 yesterday. That's a price that, it was never going to last. At 45-1 now, I suspect he'll be 33-40-1, something like that, maximum by the time the event starts. So his price will have pretty much halved from the first shows on Monday, but lots of reason to understand why he's been backed off the boards. I think he could be the one that really does supply the excitement for the local fans here this week. Never the most consistent, as we know, but his best golf, when he plays his best golf, really is top draw. And we saw that at the Golf National last year, didn't we? Another Ryder Cup venue. 16 under he won that week. First for strokes gained approach, third for strokes gained tee to green. Fantastic final round of 62, and that winning shot that he played into the 18th hole, just showed the kind of minerals that you need to be able to win a tournament like that and to execute on a Ryder Cup course. And perhaps we'll see something similar happen here this week. In terms of incoming form, 20th in Abu Dhabi, then four straight missed cuts. This is what I'm talking about. The guy isn't the most consistent. Then 23rd in Japan, where he shot a 64 in the third round. That's what must have caught your eye for last week, Steve. 14th last week in Korea. And again, closed with a round of 63. That tied the best round of the week, his closing round of 63. Yeah, something's percolating there. There's something moving in the right direction with Guido. Played here twice, 34th both times. If you look at his stats for both of those events, they're almost a carbon copy of each other. His approach game was good both times. His putting was negative both times. Actually, putting positively right now, putting much better than he was both times he's arrived here. I think he could be a factor this week, Guido Migliozzi.
Paul, you're going to ask me who I've backed. He's my only back in this event.
Yeah, I can see why. I
managed to get him at that. Bet365 priced up the Italian Open before the Wells Fargo. And I had a quick, the first thing I did yesterday morning, I had a quick read through straight on.
Yeah.
So I've been following him for a couple of weeks, haven't I? Yeah. Definitely. I mean, he's the right price. I just like, also on the strokes gained rankings that you've pulled together this week, he's second for strokes gained approach on this golf course.
Yeah. This is what I mean.
He's 12th for tee, 12th for ball striking, 14th for tee to green in this field.
Yeah, it's just the perfect putting.
But
again, if you look through, as I say, the stats that he's produced with the putter over the last couple of weeks, it's all moving in the right direction.
My one and only bet.
Yeah, no, I can see why. I mean, that early price, and you know, as I say, there's still plenty of 45-1 round right now. And so this is what, 8:45 a.m. on Tuesday morning. He won't be that price before they start because he's going to continue to be backed, I'm sure. So if you fancy a bit of Guido, and in terms of quality in this field, he's the kind of player that can win. He fits with the odds narrative that I talked about earlier. There's an awful lot to like about Guido this week. I can see why you're on. The other one I've backed, similar kind of price, again, opened at 66. He's been backed in a little bit, 50-1 currently, Adrie Arnaus. And he's another one of these talented but pretty inconsistent sorts who, you know, it could be the type of player again who goes and actually wins this tournament from relatively nondescript form. In terms of his season to date, 4 missed cuts from 8 starts so far this year, and he's missed his last 2 cuts on the trot as well, quite narrowly though. You know, they're not disastrous missed cuts, but certainly hasn't made the weekend the last 2 starts. But outside of that, 13th at Rolex Series level in Dubai. 6th Ras Al Khaimah, 2nd at the SDC Championship as well. And if you go back to last year, last May, he won in Catalunya. It's exactly this time of year, off form of miscut. So he can do it. He does do it. That is kind of, again, his particular MO. And if the putter reignites, again, that could be a factor here this week for him. He can be really hot and cold with a putter. We've seen some really strong putting performances this year, and we've seen some really poor ones as well. And that's been the reason he's missed his last 2 cuts. The putter's been off the boil a bit. Perhaps that'll just turn round. 2 wins in Italy from the Alps Tour days when he was playing at lower levels. Also finished 5th in Cervo in 2020 in the Italian Open. 12th here in 2021. He was 4th of the first day here last year and then drifted and missed the cut in the end. Did a full Keegan that particular day. But 4th after the first day. He can play the course, can play in Italy, and he can win golf tournaments, Adrian Else. So I think 50-1 now. Best price available. I think that's worth taking a mid-price as well. Couple of longer shots. I'm sticking with Masahiro Kawamura, 90-1. I backed him at the ISPS Hander a couple of weeks ago on his home soil. He missed the cut, of course. Perhaps he was rushed. He hadn't played for 6 weeks. And I don't know, perhaps the expectation of playing at home was playing on his mind. Perhaps it was just the fact that I'd backed him and ended up missing the cut. That's pretty. Well, either way, he didn't make any impact that week. 73 opened with, second round 66. He did actually flirt with making the cut at one point before a late bogey. So he certainly improved in the second round. Before that, 19th at in India, or 17th in India rather, runner-up in Kenya as well. Some decent, strong form in relatively recent times. Also finished second to last year's winner, Bob McIntyre, back in Cyprus in 2020. So if you can draw any comparisons between those two events, then potentially you could make a case for Kawamura on there. 5th here on debut back in 2021, so you can play the course. Could do something similar this week, I think, and make himself... see himself into the frame for an each way place at 90-1. And the final one I've backed, 3 figures, 125-1. Dan Brown, the Yorkshireman, progressing quickly through the ranks. Dan Brown, he's gone successive seasons from the Euro Pro Tour to the Challenge Tour, now playing on the DP World Tour. So you'd forgive him if he was taking a little bit of time to adjust to it, but he's having none of it. 10 starts on the DP World Tour from the season to date, 10 cuts made, perfect record so far. 5th at the Joburg Open, 9th at the SDC Championship, a couple of top 10s in there as well. And individually, if you dig through his stats, we've seen all aspects of his game fire at different points over those 10 events so far. Averages 305 off the tee, so he's going to have no problems around here attacking some of these risk-reward holes. Can drive it straight, can hit lots of greens, he can putt, he can scramble. It just needs to put all, it probably doesn't even need to put all aspects of the game. It probably needs to put two or three aspects of the game together in one particular week, and he'll contend in this kind of level of field, I think. Debut this week, as we know, I mean, he's debuting pretty much every particular week, but yeah, less of a disadvantage this week with only two renewals so far here at the Marco Simone. So, yeah, it shouldn't be as disadvantaged as he would be on some of the other courses this week. And I think he's one to keep an eye on for the future. 125-1 isn't going to be around forever when he continues to make cuts and contend at DP World Tour level. So that's my five. Dan Brown, Kawamura, Adrian Else, Guido and Thorbjørn Olesen. So Steve's on Guido as well. Barry, you picked anyone out for this week in Italy?
I jumped on Guido as well. I was trying to just get a feel from the visuals what this course reminds me of, and that kind of lead into making a pick, because it seems like whatever other way I've been trying to figure out bets on the DP World Tour hasn't worked, so let's go with this. So yeah, kind of gave me a little bit of Le Golf National vibes, plus the Ryder Cup link, so I went with Guido as well. Love that shout.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to stick with Alexander Bjork. He's been 16th and 14th the last 2 weeks, so I've got him on that 12 places market. If he continues that trend, he could slip in and get something, but the guy's playing well, so see what happens. Other than that, I'm going to cap it at just the two. See if we find some sort of connection to picking a golfer and then playing well on the given week on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, Bjork's playing some pretty solid stuff, isn't he? Again, you could expect him to pop up and finish in the each way places over, you know, some of these forthcoming events, particularly this kind of level. So I can see your logic. Yeah, the Golf National, we'll see, but yeah, I can see the comparisons that you'd make between the two. Certainly exposed in places, lots of water in play. I don't like using the linksy word in that context, but you know, you can, the fescue will always give you a little bit of a feel of that kind of stuff as well.
Little bit like heathlandy kind of vibe, but it's not really. It's just rolling country. Feels a little bit like Killeen Castle here or Dunleary. Gives that off, you know, vibe with a little bit of fescue in between the holes, but it's still not by the sea. So
yeah.
So anyway, it'll be really great to see the golf course a few months in advance of the Ryder Cup and just be kind of mentally ready for a few cool holes that could pop up in match play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it should be relatively soft this week compared to how it may play later in the year. We'll see. It depends how the summer goes, I guess. It'll probably be more scorable now than then. But it remains to be seen what they do in the meantime, whether they kind of nip the fairways in a little bit and make it a bit more positive for the European players, should I say.
I think they'll be nipped.
Yeah,
I think that fescue will be a bit taller as well.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few tricks that they'll play to give us a little bit of an advantage.
I take it Luke Donald will be there this week.
He is. Yeah, he's playing this week. Yeah. Be keeping an eye on some of these wannabe players.
I don't need much persuading into him, but I've just backed André Arnaus. 45 to 1 on the 8 places each way market. You can get 50-1 with Coral 7 places right now. He's the way you've explained it, position, the prices, the kind of players that win here from just off the pace on the betting boards. The other thing with Arnaus, you listen to this. That win he had in the Catalunya Championship came off of form of second, miscut. His form right now? Second at the SDC Championship, miscut.
Yep. Written in the stars.
Biorhythms, mate, time of the year, who knows. But yeah, I'm on Arnaus as well.
Yeah, no, I fancy his chances. I think he'll go well compared to what his incoming form looks like on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Yep, best of luck,
boys. I hope your bets go well, especially Cam Champ and Guido.
Best of luck, boys.
Best of luck. he says as he's laughing.
Yeah.
Best of luck to the listeners. Best of luck with your golf bets, your DraftKings teams, whatever you're pulling together. We'll be back next week. What have you got, Paul?
It's the Soudal Open in Belgium next week.
Belgium. We're at the KH Lee Open in Texas next week as KH goes for his third Byron Nelson victory on the row, in a row. So that'll be good. We'll see you again next week. Cheerio.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.